This is the Antimatter Radio Show, where conspiracy meets science.
Conspiracy theory radio hosts to not have open discourses on things. You've been taught instead to believe what they say or you're a traitor. The best example of this is the no planes 9/11 theory. Believe the biggest of the conspiracy theory radio hosts or you are a traitor on that issue. If you utter that you have doubts that there actually were planes on 9/11, you are banished from the 9/11 truth movement. But what if the evidence is there? We can't debate. I mean, what is this turning into, the 9/11 truth movement? Reminds me of the university. Believe what I say, says the professor, or you get an F. And we'll laugh at you in the classroom. Don't ask questions that don't fit in, or we will laugh at you. I remember when I was calling the Gulf crisis a hoax. Yeah, you know, pretty interesting how the Gulf crisis turned out, isn't it? You know, remember when we were, I haven't even talked about that for weeks. I haven't even thought about it. Somebody sent me a message on my profile and made me think, hey, I need to go look up, you know, P. Cola Greg and all those people we used to talk about. And they're still at it, you know, doing all their stuff. I forgot all about the you know, false flag Gulf hoax, non-event, wag the dog. But I remember when that was going on, people were saying I was the biggest traitor. I couldn't even have a discussion. Now, a lot of those people were, I'm not talking about, you know, the paid provocateurs getting on YouTube and saying, you know, I'm an idiot and all that. I'm talking about good old people in the 9/11 truth movement, the conspiracy movement, you know, other radio show hosts and so forth, acting like, you know, I can't have an opinion. Well, you know what, people? We are no better than the quackademics then. Okay, we might as well just pack it up because we are going to lose. We've already lost. You'll see today on this show. I know I'm supposed to think, you know, like the other radio show hosts, like we're one step closer to victory and we're about to defeat the New World Order and all this. I mean, I know I'm supposed to believe that, but you know what? I like to live in reality. And I really admire and appreciate the positivity of the other talk show hosts who do that and you know, keeping people's hopes up, I suppose, by doing that. But I guess I'm not going that direction. Okay, I think that we've lost the movement. As you'll see today, I think the movement is fully controlled. The conspiracy movement is the 9/11 truth movement. They exist and have their certain shape because the Illuminati has allowed them to. But anyway, back to my subject for today. The no planes on 9/11 theory is real, people. There is no messing around. There is no joke. I have always been a no planer ever since the day of 9/11. There's footage on YouTube that you can watch of... I was watching the NBC channels. I was watching CNBC. I was at my parents' house. And I remember when the second tower blew up. I just remember the first thing that came into my mind was, where was the plane? I didn't see it. Wow, there was a plane. I wasn't doubting or anything. I just remember thinking, oh, my gosh, I didn't see it. Where'd it come from? You know, where was the plane? I must have missed it or something. That's what I remember thinking. Then it always stuck with me because then I saw the same footage later in the day, and I swear it was different footage, like there was a plane added into it or something. And I just never forgot that. It was, you know, it took me a while to fully wake up that 9/11 was fake. You know, probably by the start of the Iraq War, I was there. And then later on, you know, when I watched Loose Change and so forth later on, I was really heavily into corporatism research for a long time. A lot of my research in conspiracy was devoted towards that for years. So I wasn't totally thinking about 9/11. I mean, and the footage is right there. Right there on YouTube. And what are the other conspiracy talk show hosts doing saying you're just this evil person if you hold the no planes theory? It's right there. Okay? There's several. It's not just, you know, one camera angle on the NBC channels. It's all kinds of different channels, all kinds of different camera angles. Everything is filled with oddities. Okay, flashes where the screen blips out and comes back right as the plane hits, all kinds of stuff. Just that people just didn't notice because when they were caught up in the moment of shock, they weren't thinking about anything. And now, you know, not to pick on the other conspiracy hosts, I mean, they're doing a great job. They're helping a lot of people out. I just disagree. I just want to debate. Okay, I just have a disagreement with them. I just can't believe it, though, that they'll get on air and say, let's not all fight, let's not have infighting, and then they will absolutely castigate to death anybody who disagrees with them on certain topics, especially this one. Well, you really think there's not going to be infighting? Okay, so if you say you don't want infighting on the one hand, but then the other hand are absolutely dogmatic and are intolerant and attack anybody who holds a different position than you, you're contradicting yourself because you're doing everything. You're saying on the one hand no infighting, but you're doing everything to promote infighting. How about debate? You know what I have to say to the other talk show hosts that do that? You don't know anything, fool. That's what I say. That is exactly my inner, deep, passionate feelings towards them. What a complete joke. They think they know. How many times have the other major conspiracy theory hosts been dead wrong? How about every time they make a prediction on anything, okay? Yeah, they've hit some, but they've missed a whole bunch more. All right, you know what? So, you know, we don't know that much. We hardly know anything at all. I've kind of shied away. I've been close to some of the other big-name conspiracy theory hosts, and I've kind of shied away from a lot of them a little bit. And when I go on their shows, I'm going to start, I don't know, I'm gonna make a scene, I think, on some of them. I'm kind of sick of the whole, I think they're ruining things. What do I mean by that? I mean, we need to learn. We need to not cover up info, okay, because we've got big egos and we're trying to be the king of conspiracy and all this at the same time say, oh, no, I'm not trying to be the leader. I just happen to be, you know, one of the leaders of the conspiracy movement. I'm not trying to. Yeah, you're right. Give me a break. Phony liars, you know. Anyway, I got to be careful what I say here. Some of the people I'm talking about I actually like quite a bit. But, you know, I mean, enough's enough. I mean, you can't get on air and say, hey, there's a battle and we got to, you know, win the battle and then criticize anybody else who's in it for fame and then you're totally in it for fame more than anything. I mean, this is all the main... I know. Prediction you look like? You know, I called one guy, this is not a host, but it was somebody I had on as a guest on the show. Notice I haven't had many guests on lately. But anyways, one person who's pretty well known in the conspiracy movement, I called him up because he's actually extremely well known in the conspiracy movement. Huge guest that was on this show. It's not Deagle. So I call him up one night, this is the night before he was coming on my show. And I said, you know, and then we chatted about, hey, yeah, you're coming on the show tomorrow, and blah, blah, blah. And when I called him, he was watching TV. He was watching HBO. He's like, oh, yeah, have you ever seen blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, what? What is it? I didn't even know what he was talking about. It's a show on HBO. And I was thinking, what are we doing here? Are we just messing around? Do we want freedom, or are we just playing games here? You know, so anyway, I think the whole conspiracy movement's a complete fake joke, and you're going to see it loud and clear, people, today. And I've got reasons for saying it, okay? I mean, I should just say it more and more. I can't believe if I get on the air and say, I think that the footage on 9/11 of the planes was made up. I can't believe the entire brainwashed 9/11 conspiracy movement will attack me for that. Can we not? I mean, what is the difference between us before we all woke up and became conspiracy theorists and after? Nothing. We're a conformist mob before, and we're a conformist mob after. Did you hear me? Nothing is the difference. Okay, we're a bunch of idiots. Sorry, am I supposed to be nice and dance around this? No, we've done nothing to change the world. Okay? Sorry. You know, I know I'm not supposed to say this, and I know I'm supposed to be positive, but you know what? I know that now there's 3 wars in the Middle East, and there used to be 2. All right? So that's why we all were conspiracy movement people thinking we're changing the world. We're doing diddly squat is what we're doing. You know what we're doing? We're fighting with each other because we don't know how to debate. We think we know stuff. We actually think that we have a handle on things. I think completely differently than I did 6 months ago. I go back and listen to the earlier Antimatter show broadcasts, and I'm a completely different person because so much information has changed me. Okay, so what if I would have thought back then, you know, oh, I'm so right, and I would have pounded people in the head and been so dogmatic and said, you got to listen to my view, and I'm so smart, and you're a traitor if you disagree. And then, oh, I changed my mind on everything because I learned more, because I developed, because I grew. All right, anybody in the 9/11 truth movement or in the conspiracy movement who acts that way is just ruining things, okay? We're supposed to be rising above the pitiful nature of the mainstream culture. And you know what I think? I think we're worse than the mainstream culture. The mainstream culture at least doesn't infight as badly as we do. Every little thing, fight, fight, fight. Every stupid little thing. No, at least they sit and pick their nose and watch TV and shut up. You know, and we sit here and think there's no more pathetic person on planet Earth than someone who thinks they know a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm not kidding. You think I'm kidding? No. I learned this back when I was in academia. Because I would learn one thing one year, read a bunch of books and say, oh, wow, look at all this stuff I've learned. I know so much. Then the next, and I would notice every single time a year later, you know, I would say, you know, look at how much different I am from a year before. I mean, I know so much more than I used to. All my ideas have changed. I've metamorphosized. And so why am I going? I mean, when you do this a few times, you know, when it happens, you know, every year, you think back to yourself, I'm totally different than I used to be. I've learned so much more. I'm a different person. All the things so many of the things I used to think were true, now I either know are false or needed to be modified to be honed to fit a better picture of reality. So why am I going to sit there and demand, when you learn this, you start to think, why are you going to demand that people believe your position? Because you're not even sure of your own position anyways. I was just with my father a couple weeks ago, you know, and he's a real, you know, strict, crazy old, you know, ridiculous fundamentalist Christian. You know, mysticism is evil and all that kind of stuff. Okay? You know, and then if I disagree with him on one little thing, oh, all of a sudden I'm not a Christian, I'm not the true Christian, you know, in his judging eyes. He doesn't say, don't judge, or you too will be judged. And he was asking me, he said, Jeff, you know, you're a radio talk show host, sometimes talking to tens of thousands of people. And he says, you have a family. Don't you think you should be really careful with your spirituality and what you say to people? You know what I said to him? No, was my answer. And he said, how on earth could I say that? And my answer was, because I don't know my positions yet on things. Okay, I think totally, I didn't even start praying people until just, what, 2 years ago? Okay? You know, because I was a huge bloodthirsty atheist just 6 years ago still. Okay? I've been a diehard Buddhist for 20 years, and I still am trying to figure it out. I mean, we're talking intense, you know, thinking about Buddhism intensely every day, meditation every day, reading hundreds of books, and really, you know, making it your way of life, and I'm still trying to figure it out. And now I'm at the same level of intensity with Christianity now, you know, thinking about it all the time, praying all the time, trying to figure it out, you know, really trying to understand what prayer is and what St. Paul was doing at Damascus Road and, you know, what the Garden of Gethsemane was all about. You know, what does it mean that Yahweh is omnipresent? What does it mean that heaven exists? You know, I mean, am I really supposed to think that I have all this figured out? You know, am I really supposed to have dead set ideas that I go and instruct other people about? No! And all these fools in the conspiracy movement, you're a joke. You've spread more bad information than any group there is out there anywhere. Anyway, I got to chill out because I'm going to be contradicting myself here because I always said I don't want to infight, and here, look what I'm doing. Well, you know, maybe I've changed my view on that a little bit. I'm so irritated and sick of the conspiracy movement leaders. Here's the thing that's really got me. It's not even, you know, that they make these bad predictions and then deny it all day, and if somebody calls them on it, they, you know, don't admit it. It's not even all that. It's the dogma. The lack of debate. Every single issue I ever have brought up is open to debate. I mean, if I say something like, oh, I've proven this or that or whatever, you know, in reality, I'm just using the word proof for dramatic effect. Okay, just because I feel in my heart I've proven something. Like, what was it, April 1, we had that show, Empirical Proof of Telementation, I think was the title of it. I used the word proof. Yeah, I'm just using that because of my passion. But everything is open to debate. Okay? The second we say it's not, the second we've got firm ideas that aren't open to question, and there's some other talk show hosts out there who say that daily, it's not open to question, and I just want to vomit, okay, when I hear that. Makes me sick. And whenever they do that, they've got the Hitler mentality. The George Bush mentality. It's not open to debate, people. Oh, yeah, yeah, everything is open to debate, to interpretation, to analysis, to discussion, to further clarifying our views, to gain better knowledge of things. That's the joy of it all. Well, anyway, I better get on to discussing this whole theory here. I think some of that philosophical backing that I just gave is very powerful. To have a philosophical background in our life, a sort of set of philosophical principles that we stand behind, is so important. And how many people have ever sat down and said, okay, here's the philosophy I want to set up for my life. Here's what I want to live through. Yeah, I want to be, you know, a radical theologian or some, you know, whatever it is. And that's what I have done, luckily, because I went to school and then graduate school in philosophy. And I developed that along the way, I'm happy to say. And that's what I share with all of you. But let's get to the no planes theory now, the subject that we're just not supposed to talk about. And for the benefit of the doubt, probably some of the conspiracy movement doesn't want to talk about it because it's harder to argue for 9/11 truth issues on the no planes position than it is the position that there were planes. But, you know, that's not where I am. I just want the truth. So I'm not going to sit around and dance around thinking that the public's going to wake up and think we're going to change the world or something. I'm just going for the truth, okay? So I remember as clear as right now where I'm sitting, watching footage live on 9/11. Some of the younger people that I talked to about this, people that are 20 years old or 25 years old, they'll say, oh, wow, you watched 9/11 live? And because a lot of them were in school and didn't get to. And the answer is, yeah, millions of people watched it live. The whole point was to get that first building with an explosion in it and then get everybody glued to their TV and then shock everybody with the scene of the second plane supposedly hitting and making that huge fireball. But I just so vividly remember watching. I was watching CNBC. Okay, I was at my parents' house, and they always had CNBC on in the morning. And for a number of reasons, I was there at my parents' house early that morning, and I was downstairs working on their computer. If I remember correctly, I was working on a publication, something I was trying to publish for graduate. I was starting graduate school then, and I had an article I was trying to publish, I think, or maybe it was for a class that I was taking. I'm not sure, but I just remember that as soon as that came across the screen, that there was a plane hit the World Trade Center building. You know, then I was glued to the screen. Everybody's saying, "Oh, could this be a terrorist attack?" And I remember then before the second plane hit, saying, "Anybody know of any anniversaries today? Is it, a terrorist high point or something?" And then I just remember the scene I saw were the two buildings, you could easily see them both. And then all of a sudden, the one blew up. And I remember I was just glued to the screen, totally concentrated on the screen. And I just remember as soon as it hit, saying, "Oh my gosh, a bomb went off," because I so vividly remember. I mean, I know there was no plane in that footage that I saw. And the exact same footage is on YouTube. Okay? I mean, so what's the quackery? We really have to fight with each other this bad in the conspiracy movement? Now, I have to say, I like Alex Jones a lot, but he's the worst. You talk about no planes, and he will start calling you names and the whole deal. And the footage is right there on YouTube. The exact same footage I'm referring to. It's the NBC channels that had it, okay? CNBC, MSNBC, and NBC. All right, so what's the big, come on. What's the deal? But anyway, you've got my spiel on that. Now, I was glued to the footage. I never saw it. They said it was circling around. I never saw the plane circle. I mean, you would see it. Okay, the length of it was almost, I think it's over half the, cross-section of a World Trade Center building, one of the big towers. So in other words, if you're on one of the floors and you can, there's a distance from one side to the other. I think the jetliner, if I remember correctly, is over half that distance. So you would see it. It would be a huge thing there in the sky. Not a single bit of footage, people, ever showed a jetliner circling around. Because they say it circled around and so forth as it was getting ready to crash into the building. Not a single bit of footage. And there's some footage where you'll see, not circling around, then they zoom in, and all of a sudden there's a plane right there, and it hits, because they're just, right there. The only thing filling the screen is not, any parts of the city, but just the buildings. And so they're showing the buildings with no plane circling around. Then they zoom in, and 2 seconds after they zoom in, the plane hits. Curious timing to zoom in, huh? Because, well, there's lots of reasons that's curious, but the point is there was no plane visible before. I mean, there's all the footage exhibits this. Either there's no plane, or no plane was ever circling, and then you see a plane. All right? Nobody saw the first plane, so that was easy to fake. Okay, then they just later came out with one piece of video footage, very strange circumstance. All these videos that came out, all with lots of strange circumstances around them. Somebody sold the footage to CNN, and now they won't talk to the media or something, But the first plane was easy to fake, okay? So it's the second plane is what we're concerned with. So before we get into details, the first thing we have to discuss is a lot of you are thinking, oh, my goodness, how could they fake this? This doesn't make any sense. There were people there. There could have been a million people standing out in the street in New York looking at the Trade Center towers. All right, and you know what my answer is? It's the easiest thing in the world to fake. The only reason people are confused on this issue and think that it couldn't be fake because there's too many eyewitnesses is because you don't know how society works. You don't know how media works. You don't know how all the manipulation works. People will, If there is a gap in reason in someone's mind, they will fill in the blank. All right? Go argue with someone who's not a conspiracy theorist. Go talk to them about, you know, the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, somebody who supports the Iraq war. They will come up with any reason possible to tell you that it's all okay. Or I've had people even tell me, oh, no, the weapons of mass destruction really are there. It's just that Saddam Hussein hid them. Okay, that's the, I mean, there you go. I mean, even the mass media doesn't say that, you know, in general. But people, that's an example of how people will make up whatever they need to make a story work. We live in the postmodern age, remember? Believe whatever you want. There's no, people are never taught any system of reason, logic, and empirical observation, and that those are where you derive facts from, or I should say, let's just go with that word facts, okay? Now, I described this a little bit before already. Okay, that's just the least of what I just said. I think when I had the responses to listeners' emails show the end of last month, I mentioned this really, really quickly in passing. Okay, and it's all you need to do is have it on the television that there were planes, and anybody who was an eyewitness out there will think that they just didn't happen to not see them. Okay? Remember I was saying how it's just like the oil spill. If you live on the coast in New Orleans and there's no oil coming up ashore, you know, no more tar balls than usually come up on shore to your residence on the beach, but you're hearing in the news there's oil everywhere, you'll just presume, since there's so much coastline there with all those islands and so forth, you'll just presume that, it must be that neighborhood over there down the way, or it must be, you know, there's some other people, and then everybody in the neighborhood will talk, well, we sure are lucky that it didn't hit our neighborhood, and it's just, I hope it doesn't come our way. And then people will say, yeah, I heard it was over more on this part of the town or something, or something. And then they'll find out, we'll find out that they were just reciting what they heard on television. You know, and the whole time, people will never stop and think, wait a minute, maybe this is all a lie if we don't see it. Okay? I mean, if you have the big, impressive mass media that the people endlessly trust, they will never believe this thing is a massive lie. They will instantly question their views, even to the point of questioning the direct observations. They could be standing right there near the Trade Center towers and never see a plane. And they'll think, oh, I just wasn't paying enough attention or something. Or, oh, you know, it was just all those other people that saw it, not me. Most of the footage of the second hit, if I understand, by far most of it, if I understand correctly, was later, you know, given to the media by amateurs or was put together by news agencies later. And it was only a couple initial live shots. And some of them would have no plane at all. Some would have a plane. And some would have other mysterious things like, you know, a ball floating around or something where the plane was supposed to be. But people won't question that. They'll question themselves. Just like on 9/11, when I didn't see a plane, it was always in the back of my mind. But like on the day of, for example, I was just too much in shock by it all to put it all together, to think that, oh, could this be fake? I mean, do you remember those clips on Fox News when they came out with footage of the Pentagon? I think that was 2006, the summer of 2006. They would say, oh, the Pentagon's releasing more footage of what happened there. And, you know, then everybody came out and clearly it was doctored and so forth. It was kind of obvious. But forget even that. Just focus on how the mass media did it. What they would do is they would get on TV and they would say, oh, look here, you can see a jetliner in the footage. I mean, that would be like me going to the window right here in the studio, pointing to the sky and say, see, there's a huge flying dragon. You see it right there. That would be the equivalent, because I'm simply telling you something that's not there is there. Okay? That's how easy it is. Just grasp that for a minute. That's how easy. Because I didn't see afterwards millions of people take the streets and say, oh my goodness, I just, they gave us the footage themselves that showed no plane. I don't care if they deleted out a couple clips in the middle or a couple frames. The point is it didn't show a jetliner, and they said that it did. Okay, now I didn't see after that happened millions of people taking the streets, taking over government and saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe the mass murderers lied to us to get into these wars. I mean, they tell you, think, grasp this for a moment. They give you the footage themselves of 9/11 showing that it's fake. Nothing happens. People don't wake up. Years before that, they start wars over 9/11, and our children are dying, and our economy is reeling over it. And then they show you the footage years later that it's fake, telling you that it's real. Nothing happens. Do you get my drift here? I mean, think about the no planes theory this way. If this thesis is true, that there were no planes, you know, then there's variations of it. You can think that there's one plane or, you know, all kinds of stuff. Okay? But think about the no planes thesis for a moment. Okay, they gave us the footage showing us that there were planes hitting the World Trade Centers. And then on the other hand, they did not give us footage of planes hitting the Pentagon. They could have, but they didn't. I mean, isn't the Pentagon what really, really got things moving in the 9/11 truth conspiracy theory? Dave von Kleist and his book, film In Plain Sight. If the conspiracy theory was such a threat to them, as so many 9/11 truthers and conspiracy movement people believe, why wouldn't they just create fake video of planes hitting the Pentagon as they did the World Trade Centers? No, what they did instead is gave the apparently real fake video and just gave that to people and said, here's the plane, which showed there isn't a plane. And the only answer to these issues is that the Illuminati people controls the conspiracy movement. All right? They're the ones who, if they would have come out with footage of the plane hitting the Pentagon, or if they would have hidden all kinds of other footage that showed oddities and so forth with the World Trade Centers, you know, the squibs and everything, they could have easily hidden all that footage if they wanted, so easily. But they didn't do any of that. And the only answer to why they wouldn't do that is because apparently they wanted a conspiracy movement to arise. What other possible answer is there? I mean, the mass media is so well controlled, choreographed, and pre-planned that something this potentially explosive, no pun intended, is revealing 9/11 to be completely fake would have had to beforehand be planned for if they didn't want it there. And if they purposely made video of planes hitting, because according to the no planes theory, and we'll go through the evidence and so forth of that in a little bit. If they purposely made that video, they purposely made it to have oddities so that a conspiracy movement would arise. I mean, I just said we'd go over it all in a minute, but I think we kind of have, I mean, I've already given the one piece of evidence. I mean, there's footage where with no planes, and then all of a sudden the building has a huge explosion. Right where the plane was supposed to be, there's nothing. Clear as day. I mean, couldn't they in the live feed have slipped in footage that at least had a plane? No, they didn't even care about that. And if 9/11 truth is such a threat to them, they would have. So the only answer to this issue is that they specifically chose not to. Not caring one bit that a conspiracy movement might arise because it's no threat. And secondly, well, I mean, it's no threat because people don't know what to do. They think they're going to take over the government. They think they're going to change the government that's existing with protests and so forth. And, you know, what a joke. The last thing they'll do is go out into their garden and get their hands dirty and start planting crops and become self-sufficient, which is the only answer. Because we simply don't do that anymore. We've been taken off the land. We're domesticated. Okay, we're not wild anymore. I mean, hardly any of us hunt, hardly any of us farm. We're too stuck in the addiction lifestyle of food that's from the grocery store, cable television, and so forth. Let me explain what I'm trying to say here succinctly and clearly as possible in one sentence. According to the No Planes theory, the footage on 9/11 was chosen. Okay, everything you saw was fake footage, maybe except the collapses themselves. Okay, if they chose the footage, then they chose it to have all the oddities that the conspiracy movement jumped all over afterwards, such as no plane even existing in some of the footage, weird, you know, things underneath the planes that make them not look like American Airlines and so forth, and you know, weird, you know, flashes, you know, near the plane, near the buildings before the planes even hit, and all this kind of stuff. I mean, remember that there's that flash, the first, there's only that one scene, bit of footage about the first plane hitting, supposedly. And before the shadow of the plane even gets near the building, there's a flash there on the building, and then it's, you know, a bit after that, that the shadow then meets the building, wherein the plane itself is indicated that it hit the building. Okay, so if they chose that footage, people, they chose that for us. They just made that, okay, according to the No Planes theory, which we have to, I am obligated to endorse for what I remember on 9/11, and also the footage simply exists on the internet right now, NBC, the same footage I saw with no planes there. So if that's the case, they chose that one for the first plane hitting. That means that they chose for the conspiracy movement to come into existence. Do you grasp what I'm saying here? The conspiracy theory movement exists because the Illuminati pre-planned and chose for it to exist. If not, okay, so anyway, there was my summary. But let me say it in different words. We know that the no planes theory is real because we can just simply go watch the footage seeing no planes. That's just one piece of evidence. I got a whole page full of evidence here, in addition that I remembered anyways. Okay, so if the no planes thesis is correct, that means the video footage that we have that brought about the conspiracy movement was specifically pre-planned and created by the Illuminati to give rise to this conspiracy theory movement. And we sit here and think we expose them and we're uncovering the truth and we're going to bring them to justice when they created us. All right? You know, if you don't like this and you want somebody to tell you, yeah, we're going to defeat them and so forth, that's cool. Then you'll have to listen to other radio shows as well and to get their perspective in addition to mine and make up your own mind whatever you think is best. But I hold the thesis that if we delude ourselves with falsities, sit there and think, oh, we're winning this victory, let's bring them to justice, we expose them. Okay, now that may fill people with hope, and people may think I'm a traitor for not going along with that view, but that view has not brought us any freedom. We are further down the rabbit hole. So maybe focusing on the dead truth is what we really need, and that's what I'm trying to do. Maybe that is what can get us freedom. Okay, think if we were to use all our energy, instead of following all these predictions of the conspiracy movements, leaders, and you know, going to their protests and all this kind of stuff, listening to their predictions that never happened and then deny it later or make up excuses of why they didn't happen. Maybe if we were radical skeptics, radical empiricists and we focused on the dead truth, maybe we would be in better shape than we are now. You know? So you can fill yourself with all these dreams of, oh, we're going to expose them and throw them in jail. Whoever you even, you know, do you even know who's to be thrown in jail? Okay, you can fill yourself with all that all you want, but I'm focusing on the truth because that is what we need. You know, another way to look at it is considered World Trade Center 7. I was glued to my television all day on 9/11, I'll admit. Okay? And I was one of the people, I vividly remember, I must have been watching the NBC channels, I don't remember exactly which one I was watching, I think that's what it was, but I remember when World Trade Center 7 came down. And it was just, it was announced a few minutes before. They were saying throughout the day some of the buildings are going to fall. Some of them are nearby are really unstable. They've been damaged. And then they said that one, they said, this one's about to fall. This one's about to fall. And then it fell, and they showed it falling. And so that's what people usually say is the smoking gun, that 9/11 is an inside job. And we're getting the, they could have hidden that. They didn't need to announce it. Okay? I mean, the number of people, eyewitnesses in New York City who would have seen it are far, 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 far fewer than the number of totally dedicated conspiracy theorists, 9/11 truthers out there now. So do you think they care one bit about eyewitnesses? That's a drop in the ocean in the amount of people that are now totally diehard conspiracy theorists. Eyewitnesses simply do not matter. Okay, they're just exterminated. Maybe that's why so many of the firefighters and so forth have been killed. Because they're the ones who know, or who could know, the truth behind this whole thing. Anyway, the point is that they announced World Trade Center 7. All kinds of footage exists. People knew to take the footage and so forth. You know, Alex Jones has pointed out the scripting that happened by the BBC. They were announcing World Trade Center 7 collapsed way before it did. You know, and they don't take his site down. That's because this is all what they want. All right? The Illuminati has pre-planned the existence of the 9/11 truth movement. I mean, we always think about it from the perspective of, oh, they did 9/11 and we're going to catch them in their, you know, in their mistakes. You know, as if they couldn't just make a fake video of the Pentagon, a plane hitting, okay? Yeah, I could make one on my computer that would fool anybody, okay, with my primitive little tools here. There are YouTube videos out there of people showing how you can make a video with fake planes in about 5 minutes that's more real than the ones that exist. All right? So anyway, let's keep on the World Trade Center 7 thing here a second. We're used to thinking, oh, we're just going to get them, we're going to get them. And we're locked into that perspective. Think about it from another perspective. Let's just use the mainstream 9/11 conspiracy theory ideas. Think about the events that actually happened, but from the perspective of the inside job, you know, the people who wired World Trade Center 7 and so forth. So they would have had to have done so beforehand in complete secrecy. You know, they're wiring a building to bring it down on 9/11. And then they announce all day, especially late in the afternoon on 9/11, that some buildings might come down. And then later on TV, they show a picture of World Trade Center 7 and say, hey, everybody, this one's about to come down. Yeah, this is real secret, and we, you know, we're so lucky to be able to expose them. No, they're telling us this building's about to come down, then they show it, and all kinds of footage exists of it. It's exactly a controlled demolition, okay? It told us all throughout the day it's coming. They wired it beforehand so we could see it. If you think that we just are exposing them and we just caught them in the act, because it slipped out in the mass media, you are simply wrong. How did the mass media know to put their cameras on World Trade Center 7 to get the 3 or 4 camera angles that exist that show it coming down? Because they were told to do so by people who knew it was coming down. like Giuliani. And think how stupid we are sitting here thinking, oh my goodness, let's expose them and throw them in jail. Okay, that's not what the law system works for, people. When's the last time you saw someone like at the level of Rockefeller or Obama or Rumsfeld or somebody going to jail? How about never? Okay? And we go to jail all day for all these silly little, quote, laws, unquote. Oh, you had some marijuana. We're going to throw you in jail. Oh, a 19-year-old had sex with a 17-year-old. That's statutory rape. 12 years for the 19-year-old. I mean, come on. You can't figure this system out. It is not there. You will never throw an Obama in jail. Some of you say, oh, what about Nixon? Which he didn't even go to jail anyway, but, you know, he was at least exposed, as people think. I was saying, what, 4 years ago on radio, that was just there was a movement by the New World Order to get people to radically lose their faith in the U.S. government, because that helps their plans. I've specifically outlined the details of how this all works and how it's so productive for them. I mean, Nixon was a bigger blow than, we're just used to it now. Oh, a politician had sex with a minor. Oh, okay. Slap their hands and then, you know, they don't get any jail time. Oh, a politician was caught with hookers. Okay, big deal. Oh, this politician stole and lied. You know, we're so used to it, it's unbelievable. We were not as used to it when the whole Watergate thing happened, and that crushed a lot of people. It's much more productive for government to work if people expect it to be a miserable failure than if they don't expect it to be a miserable failure. If they expect it to be a miserable failure, then, well, they'll go along with the wars and expect them to fail, and it's perfect, because that's what the politicians, the New World Order government, was supposed to do all along, have a failed war called an occupation. Okay, they want failure. They want us to attack them. They want conspiracy theories so we all fight with each other. If you see something going on in our society, it's probably because they pre-planned it. Okay, and the conspiracy movement just does not understand this at all. They actually think that, you know, we're catching them, by exposing their secrets and exposing them where they're not supposed to be exposed. Well, that's nice wishful thinking, but there's no evidence that supports that at all, and all the evidence supports the other way around, where they must have planned back in the 80s, hey, we need a conspiracy movement to emerge in the 2000s. So how do we do it? Hey, let's plan a 9/11 attack. You know, let's have planes flying to buildings. Let's do it real sloppy and show all the evidence right on TV. Okay, just like we did with the moon landing. Let's show all the evidence right on TV that it's fake. Okay? You know, let's have it where all someone has to do is just watch the video footage, and they can see that there weren't even any planes there because some of the footage doesn't have them. And, you know, just like the moon landing, let's have all the evidence right there so they can see it's fake just from the footage. And so then we can get a conspiracy movement going on, and we can have some fun with them. You know, so let me switch gears here. Let me play you a clip of, I think this is ABC News, on 9/11, as the second plane hit. The reporter says, the building just exploded. You know, he's right there on the scene. Obviously, he would have seen a plane. And then there's a debate between, or there's a discussion between a reporter and Diane Sawyer, and then the other guy that's on there, the main anchors for the ABC News morning show. Forgot the guy's name. And he says, oh, yeah, a plane came in from the side. And I'm going to forward you, you'll have it by the time you're hearing this today, the videos that show no plane coming in from the side. Okay, and he'll say, there's a plane just came in from the side. So he's creating ideology. When everybody's in shock there, in a state of shock, saying, oh, my goodness, all of a sudden we have no security. And in that moment of shock, right there at that point, he says a plane flew into the building. And it's permanently imprinted in everyone's consciousness. And the last thing anybody's doing is questioning whether or not there was really a plane there. So here's this clip. There's some music in the background. The person on YouTube that has the clip put some music in the background. So just ignore that. Just listen to the interesting news clip. Here you go.
I'd say the home takes about 6-7 floors were taken out. And there's more right now. Hold on, people are running.
We got an explosion inside.
The building's exploding right now. We got people running up the street.
Okay.
I'll tell you what's going on.
Okay.
Sorry, everybody, that's the wrong clip. That's kind of interesting, though, that one. Interesting that things weren't choreographed well enough for something like that to slip through, huh? But anyway, sorry about that. Here's the clip I'm looking for. And again, sorry about the music.
To look at the city of New York from the top, but also there, I don't know if this is the building that has a restaurant on top of it as well, but in those high floors, there are places where tourists team in the morning, even if the regular workers weren't in. And we remind you again that there was a terrorist bomb that did go off at the World Trade Center years ago. It was down in the garage level, but we have no
indication of description related to that. Right. Don Daler, ABC's Don Daler, who is on the scene. Don, just give me some description again of what you can see now.
What we're seeing, it appears that there is more and more fire and smoke enveloping the very top of the building. And as fire crews are descending on this area, it does not appear that there's any kind of an effort up there yet. Now remember, oh my God.
That looks like a second plane.
I didn't see a plane go in. That just exploded.
I just saw another plane coming in from the side.
You did. That's
the second explosion. You could see the plane come in just from the right-hand side of the screen.
Amazing, people. Did you hear that? He said there was not a plane. It just exploded. And then I think that I forgot the name of that anchor person on ABC News. He's always on in the morning, or at least he used to be. I don't know if he still is, with Diane Sawyer. He said, he interrupts and said there was a plane. In the footage, there's no plane. People, I mean, the footage of the NBC videos, this is ABC, but this is one of the ones with footage, but those don't have footage. This one does. I mean, people, the no planes theory is the correct theory. Okay, I haven't even gone through all the evidence. This is enough. And then the reporter says, no, there was no plane. It just exploded. Then he has to listen to the anchor person say, oh, no, there was a plane a second time. Then he's, oh, yeah, there was a plane. Okay, there you go. There you go, all right? Just like we know the moon landing's fake because of the footage, we know the planes are fake because of the footage. It's in the footage, all right? I mean, what we know is that the footage is not the real event.
An effort up there, yeah. Now remember, oh my God.
That looks like a second plane.
I didn't see a plane go in. That just exploded.
I just saw another plane coming in from the side.
You did.
The second explosion. You could see the plane come in just from the right-hand side of the screen. So this looks like it is some sort of a concerted effort.
See, what you have here is he interrupts right away. Within a second of everybody saying, oh, my God, and all that, there he's interrupting, saying it's a second plane. Now, this is one of the pieces of video footage where you do actually have a plane show up. It's a black silhouetted plane, which doesn't make sense with the light angles. It should have been quite illuminated, with the reflection of the sun. But anyway, aside from that, it's just another one of those oddities, you know. See, the reason it is because you can watch every single angle, every camera angle, and the plane is black or dark gray or something, which is not the correct color that it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be white or silver, like an American Airlines or whatever. I forgot which airliner it was. This is supposedly the second plane that hit. But anyway, I don't want to get caught in that because that actually would work for either the planes or the no planes theories, either one. Could just been a fake plane, for example, a remote control military plane. According to the there was planes theory. So let me play you another piece of footage. This is the one I saw on 9/11 that it doesn't have a plane. You can faintly make out like a ball or something coming from the right of the screen. You'll have the link to this. I would have given it to you already by the time you saw this in the download area at Antimatter Radio. But what you will see is, I mean, the plane's wingspan is almost the width of a building. So you're going to see a plane, okay? And what you can only faintly make out like a ball or something. It's not a plane, clearly. If you believe it's a plane, then you believe the footage on the Pentagon was a plane. You know, and then right there in the video, I think it's Matt Lauer or somebody says, oh, yeah, there was a plane. and there's no plane. It's just the Pentagon game all over again. Anyway, here's the footage. I mean, but first, he's doing the same thing. He's implanting the idea in everybody's head, the exact same script as ABC News. It's a plane. The first thing anybody hears when they see the explosion is, it's a plane. Anyway, here you go.
There must have been a three-block cloud of white smoke. Now, from where I was on the street a moment ago, you can, in fact, see smoke leaving the building on three sides. It seems to be coming out on at least four or five floors. The air is filled with hundreds of thousands of pieces of paper that are just sort of floating like confetti. The area is swarmed with emergency vehicles and sirens.
Have you
obviously
seen?
We're very sensitive to this kind of thing in this neighborhood.
Elliot, have you, of course, because of the incident that occurred in the early 1990s, have you seen any evidence, Elliot, of people being taken out of the building? You say that emergency vehicles are there, understandably so, but of course the major concern is human loss. I mean, do you know if there were many people in the building?
Oh, another one just hit. Something else just hit. A very large plane just flew directly over my building, and there's been another collision. Can you see it? I can see it on the shot.
Oh, my.
Something else has just hit.
You know what? We just saw a plane circling the building.
It is in the
See, I'll replay that again in a second, but notice right when everybody's freaking out, oh my goodness, he said, Matt Lauer says in perfect clarity, you know, we just saw a plane circling. This is the first thing that people hear. They're immediately given an explanation that their consciousness uses to fill in the gaps of what's going on here. Because the video footage that's on the screen exactly at this moment does not have a plane. It has this strange ball, which you really don't even notice unless you're looking really, really carefully. At the footage, you don't see a plane. It's close-up, good, clear footage, too. Okay, and so this is it, people. I mean, what more do you need than this? This is, see it with your own eyes, proof of what? That the footage, what do you see? You see footage. The footage is fake. That's what we know. And that leads me to ascertain the planes were fake.
So, but of course the major concern is human loss. I mean, do you know if there were many people in the building?
Oh, another one just hit. Something else just hit. A very large plane just flew directly over my building, and there's been another collision. Can you see it? I can see it on the shot.
Oh my!
Something else has just.
You know what? We just saw a plane circling the building.
It is in the other building.
We just saw a plane circling the building. A second ago on the shot right before
I
that.
I think there may have been another impact. Can you tell? I just heard another very loud bang and a very large plane that might have been a DC-9 or a 747 just flew past my window, and I think it may have hit the Trade Center again.
To be honest, Elliot, I didn't get the impression that it was that big a plane.
It looked big from here.
I did see a plane go by a second ago, though, and it has now impacted the building. I'm trying to see if it's the different tower.
I believe the first one was World Trade Center 1, and it looks from what I'm seeing on the television like it may have been
the
second building.
This is a piece of tape. And we may actually see another plane enter the picture here in a second.
I wonder if there are air traffic control problems.
Let's go back to Jennifer Oberstein, who was talking to a second ago. Jennifer, did you see this happen?
Hello?
You just see this happen, Jennifer?
Matt, I've never seen any. It looks like a movie. I saw a large plane, like a jet, going immediately headed directly into the World Trade Center. It just flew into the other tower, coming from south to north. I watched the plane fly into the World Trade Center. It was a jet. It was a very large plane. It was going fast. It went past the Ritz-Carlton Hotel that's being built in Battery Park. It flew right past it, almost hit it, and then went in.
This is so shocking, of course, to everybody watching.
I've never seen anything like it. It literally blew itself into World Trade Center.
Obviously now we move from what appears to have... There it is right there.
Again, I'm looking from south to north, and it went into the one on the right.
That appeared to be at least a 727. We saw it a second ago. Here comes the videotape that we just showed you. You will see what appears to be a large plane. It could be a 727 right there, maybe even bigger, flying right into the side of the World Trade Center.
It was at least a 727. It was a jet. I couldn't believe my eyes watching it right above me.
And now you have to move from talk about a possible accident to talk about something deliberate that has happened here. We're going to immediately check with air traffic control in the area to find out if they had contact with either of these planes before the accident. But what we've just seen is about the most shocking videotape I've ever seen.
What are the odds of two separate planes hitting both towers?
Elliot, are you still there?
See, Matt Lauer has to say it twice. We just saw a plane circling the building. Okay. I mean, you can forget all the... I mean, there's no video footage of a plane circling the building. Okay, there's all kinds of the footage of a plane, the second plane hitting. But there's no footage of it circling around. Isn't that kind of funny? And, in fact, the Fox News live as it happened footage should have shown that, and it didn't. Because they were filming the towers. It should have shown circling around. Then they did a big close-up. And then all of a sudden, oh, the plane was there in the close-up. And where it should have been, it wasn't enough of a close-up to not have it revealed in the second, or in the initial larger screen shot. Because if you can see the buildings, you're going to see something as almost as wide as the buildings, namely the wingspan of the plane or the length of the plane. You know, it's interesting. You know, on the screen, when you watch all the as it happened footage, Fox, CBS, and so forth, it's 9:03 that it happened. Did I already mention? I can't remember if I mentioned this already or not. 9:03, that's 93. Yeah, I think I did mention this already. Sorry about that. And then Bush went on air in Florida. I think it wasn't at 9:30. There's another 93. And then Flight 93. Bush went on air in Florida to say, oh, a plane hit. You know, I mean, how fake is this? You know, they don't even rush him off to safety or something. It was well known where he was that day. So, but anyways, so 93 is encoded in all over the place. A well-known Illuminati numerological number that's used. See, then in this video, it's 9:05 when the piece of tape is released. It's a different angle. And the plane is huge right there. It's, again, a silhouetted black plane, but it's from a different angle. And you can see it right there. I mean, the plane's as big as, it's as long as the width of the building. And then the first footage, it's just simply not there. Done deal, people. Done deal. See, Matt Lauer, at 9:04, he's saying here, no, actually, it's right at the end of 9:03 p.m. or a.m. that morning. He said, we're going to see a piece of videotape, and you should see the plane entering there from the right. Now, this is under 30 seconds after it happened, and then it's sort of delayed, and then they show the same angle, like there's a minute delay or something. They didn't have the footage ready or something yet? I don't know. I mean, why didn't they just show it? It's kind of curious that all of a sudden there was like the stop and start. But one thing that's funny is a minute earlier said, I'm trying to figure out if it's the second tower that was hit. He doesn't even understand that it's the second tower that's hit. But then he's got a good enough grasp on it to know all the different angles of the buildings and so forth. You know, because when you just see those towers standing next to each other, it's hard to figure out what direction you're looking at. You know, when you just have the sky in the background and the two towers, it's hard to know if you're looking north, south, east, or west, or whatever. But he yet knows it's coming in from the right. Do you get my picture there? He first says, in other words, what he's saying is scripted and fake. First, he's saying, oh, I don't know if it's the second tower that's hit or not. And then seconds later, oh, here's a piece of tape. We're going to see a plane coming in from the right. He happens to just know the exact angle and everything. Okay, so it simply doesn't make any sense. And you might say, oh, well, somebody could have whispered that in his earpiece that it's coming in from the right. Well, then why didn't they whisper in his earpiece that it was the second tower that blew up? Because that was almost a minute after. He said, I'm trying to figure out if it's the second tower that's been hit. That was like a minute later. Somebody wouldn't have whispered that in his earpiece at the time? Yeah, I think they would have. I knew the moment it happened, it was the second tower. You can see right there with my eyes, right on the screen. Okay, but he can't figure it out. It's because it's all scripted and all a bunch of baloney, people. And see, when he shows you the plane, that's a different angle and everything. But then when he says, well, we're going to show you here the videotape we just showed you, they actually don't show the whole thing. They just show the explosion. They don't show the ball, weird ball thing coming in from the right top of the screen and so forth. There's so many videos on this. There's so many oddities about this. It's just curious that the other 9/11 conspiracy hosts won't cover this. It's just plain as day. The video footage of the planes is fake. So that leads to the next conclusion, is that the planes are fake, obviously. I mean, that answers every question. You know, how do you get a plane to fly in exactly those parts of the buildings? Remember the dollar bills in the mid-90s came out, and you could fold them a certain way, and it would show the Pentagon and the towers and everything there? Now, there's a couple different explanations for that. One is that they had WebBot technology to find out exactly how those explosions would happen. But another is because there were no planes, and they put bombs in there and knew exactly where they were going to explode years in advance. If you listen to that clip the second time, the first thing he says, right when he says, oh, my God, within 1 second, he says, oh, a plane was circling the building. We just saw it. You know, like they wouldn't have pointed that out before because they couldn't, because they wanted everybody to be shocked by the visible explosion. That was the shock and awe. Okay, they couldn't have said, hey, you know, don't you think he would have said, hey, there's another plane, a big jetliner circling the building. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't show up on any of your video footage, strangely, but I see it. Don't you think he would have said something? You know, that doesn't make a whole lot of jetliners like that don't fly just above the building tops in New York City ever. Oh, but he forgot to mention it. No, he couldn't because that's, yeah. It's clear as day, people. There, it's physically and mentally impossible for someone to say, oh, it looks like a second plane in this piece of video footage that I'm looking at here. Because there was no plane, people. Okay? It'd be like saying, going out to my window, looking up at the sky and saying, oh my gosh, that looks like a second dragon flying through the sky. You know, what on earth would it's because it's not there. See, we've just been taught to not trust our eyes. Okay, we've been taught to trust what people tell us, especially in the big media. You know, this reminds me of, in my book, Corporatism, I wrote about how Rumsfeld, you know, was supposedly at the Pentagon, you know, out there helping people and, you know, running around the lawn after the plane supposedly hit. And then, you know, 45 minutes later, he's on TV saying the second, you know, talking about the airliner that hit the Pentagon. But when the news footage of the event shows that there's absolutely no evidence at all of a jetliner crash there, yet he's on TV saying there was a jetliner crash. It's the same idea. These people were just told in advance what to say, people. When is the 9/11 truth movement, the conspiracy movement, going to stop believing the media? Are they going to do it this decade, next decade? You know, oh, there's an oil spill. Let's believe that. I mean, the most prominent conspiracy theorists in the conspiracy movement were believing that. You know, all this video footage of the oil spill. When are we going to stop? We think we're so enlightened. We're so smart because we're conspiracy theorists. We think we've got it all fit. You know, so many things figured out the rest of people doesn't. We're still believing the stupid mass media just like everybody else. All right? Just like everyone else. What a complete joke we are. So to sum up, I mean, that's one of the main summary points right there. There's 3 points for summing up. One, proving the no planes thesis is the easiest thesis in the world. Because there are planes theorists. What do they use? They use the video footage to verify their claim. Say, okay, the video footage shows that what we can know of this footage is that there's 9/11 is an inside job. Okay, that's what the no planers do too. By the video footage here, we know that there were no planes. All right, so it's the same thing. It's the easy. So what do we know? We know, one, there are no planes. Two, that means the whole conspiracy theory movement is allowed to exist and fabricated and really controlled by the Illuminati, unbelievably. And three, the conspiracy movement is a complete joke, as we just got done saying. Bunch of people in there thinking they're so smart, thinking they know so much, and they don't know any. They're controlled, okay? They're controlled just like everybody else. I mean, really, the conspiracy theorist is as brainwashed, tricked, fooled, and controlled as the average mainstream TV-watching, TV-addicted American is, watching their Fox News, okay? There, you can't get any clearer than that. The no planes theory proves this beyond a shadow of a doubt, as we've already laid out specifically earlier in the show today. Again, I don't mean to be pessimistic, and I know the other conspiracy theorists say we can't say what I just said, but doing things their way hasn't worked. As I already said, okay? The more we listen to them, and I'm not trying to do an us against them, like you should listen to me, and I'm, you know, not, it's not an ego battle. I'm just saying they have made an error, and it's okay. People make mistakes, and they need to acknowledge it, and we need to understand that and find a better strategy. Because the more we listen to them, the more we fall into this. We couldn't prevent the Obama nightmare. You know, I mean, nothing's happening. So we need a different plan. That plan is, as I've said on radio for 4 years, and I've said in my book, Corporatism, is we need to stop being dependent on the system. Okay? Then we're free. Period. I mean, why wouldn't we have done anything but focus as much on the truth that is the empirically verified observations as much as possible initially. Why would we do anything but that? You know? So, you know, I guess I haven't gone through a lot of the evidence. I mean, others have done so well before that I didn't feel the need to so much. And it's just so obvious. I didn't feel any. I mean, it's just pretty much a done deal with the footage I just referred to. If it's not there, it's not there in the footage. Okay? So, I mean, but interestingly, the no planes thesis is actually the one that fits everything else best as well. You know, a lot of people have wondered how, you know, they could get somebody to suicidally fly into a building. Well, no planes thesis answers that. A lot of people have said, no, it was remote control planes that did it. And then people have wondered, well, how could they so perfectly have known in the 1990s with that whole dollar bill thing, you know, when you fold the dollar bills up in a certain way, it makes pictures of the Pentagon and the towers of 9/11. The explosions were exactly in the right place and the smoke was going just the right way and so forth, you know, meaning that it was big black smoke and everything. Well, that would be also because that's also explained best with the no planes issue. It also explains the footage issue best. You know, everybody's saying, oh, my gosh, it was just explosions, no planes. Reporters all over the place initially saying that before they were quickly, within seconds of that blast, corrected by the Matt Lauers and the Diane Sawyers and stuff, saying, oh, yeah, there's the plane. Didn't you see it? You know. But, I mean, that they said that initially, and their footage is explained best by the no planes the thesis. Everything does. That NORAD couldn't find the planes, that the hijackings weren't announced, the whole deal. You know, you got planes hijacked for 45 minutes, supposedly, and, you know, I don't know about that guy's testimony, Nelson Mineta or whatever. You know, that I don't know how to fit that one in, but, you know, that comes from government, so I just basically don't trust it. I trust my eyes. Thank you very much. Yeah, and also there's weird issues. A lot of people wonder how a plane could have penetrated the Pentagon. I mean, these planes are, a plane is made to be as lightweight as possible. It's flimsy little metal, except for the engines. How could they just so cleanly crash right through a building? It doesn't seem to make any sense. Okay, well, I'm not an engineer, so I'm not going to put a lot of discussion into this topic. But then again, the no planes thesis takes care of that one as well. You know, there was no plane at the Pentagon. Why do we think there was one at the towers? You know, it explains why all the main people, you know, the Bryant Gumbels and so forth, were so ready to say there was no planes. Everything fits best with this thesis. And I don't know how in the 9/11 movement we got off track from thinking that this is the best thesis to go by. And I think it's probably, you know, like the big names like Alex Jones and stuff didn't want to go with the no planes thesis because it's harder to convince people of it. People find it too hard to believe. But actually, it's the easiest to believe. People find it hard to believe because we'll say, you know, how could all the people in New York City, you know, it's the eyewitnesses, they would have seen it. You can't pull that off. You know, but again, like I said earlier, that's just a product of not thinking into things enough. You know, they don't care. If they were worried about those, you know, thousands of people who were eyewitnesses, then why wouldn't they be worried about the millions who become conspiracy theorists by viewing stuff on the Internet? The answer is because, you know, they don't care about the eyewitnesses, I already said, and people just haven't thought through the issue enough, and then they just instantly have their assumptions and don't believe, and it just makes me sick how people can't think. So anyway, everybody, that's I could say a whole lot more about this. We could go for hours and hours and hours, but I think that pretty much sums it up. The biggest point of all is the no planes thesis. Not that it's true, but what it implies. It implies the whole conspiracy movement is a whole lot less free and unbrainwashed than we thought we were. You know, to just sit there on our radio shows and say, we're not, I mean, I've done this too. I've made the same mistake, saying I'm not brainwashed. Well, we're just kidding ourselves, you know. And it's good to know the truth. It's good to know this, what I just said right here, about us being brainwashed in the conspiracy movement, because then we stop getting comfortable and start fighting harder for our freedom. So take care, everybody. Thank you very much for listening. Another huge show tomorrow. Every single day, breakthrough information, empirical scientific information that you've never heard before, cutting new territory, new ground, going where people haven't gone before every single day on the Antimatter Radio Show. Take care, everyone. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow.
You are listening to Antimatter Radio from West Lafayette, Indiana, the show about everything, where conspiracy becomes science, where the natural becomes supernatural, where the Brave New World slave becomes divinely inspired. Conspiracy, ancient history, human origins, consciousness, parapsychology, advanced beings, spirituality, meditation, New World Order, telementation, antimatterradio.com.